lights on. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? It is absolutely beautiful out there. Great day to be here today. Let me see. Let's start off with 705, please, and let's stand. 705. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Sing the last. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to worship you. Thanks, Lord, for those who made it out here today, the good week we've had, Lord, keeping us safe. Food and raiment, Lord, you provide. Our homes, Lord, we could go on and on. Lord, help us to remember to thank you for it daily. And again, Lord, thanks for getting us here today. Another chance to be in your house, Lord, to open your word along with our pastor. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord, for so many freedoms. I just pray, Lord, today you guide our nation, especially its leaders, that they would ask you, Lord, for ways to guide our nation in what we see is the right way, Lord. It's a mess, Lord, but we pray for it. We thank you for it. Guide our pastor today, Lord. Give him the strength that he needs to deliver your message to us here today, Lord. I pray that it would speak to someone, that if someone needs to get right with you, Lord, today, before they leave, that they would do so. Thank you for this time, Lord. Just guide and direct. Be with us, Lord, and we do love you dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 814. 814. Somewhere. Shall its praise begin, taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Mountains sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Magnify the precious name, Jesus, His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn, Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled by His name, making Him God's dear child. Peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper for the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Whew. Thank you. Let's see. Tonight, 6 o'clock, it's our evening service, don't forget. Ministry of the Holy Spirit, part 2, pretty good stuff. Ballots are due today, just make sure you get them handed in for our annual business meeting coming up. Committee meeting is going to be on the 14th at 6. Deacon meeting is also going to be there an hour later at 7. Family fun night is Wednesday the 15th. I don't know what we're going to do, folks, just have to come find out. Men's Bible study on the 18th at 9 o'clock in the morning. Women's Bible study on the 18th at 9 a.m. Next Bible study is February the 28th at 6 o'clock in the evening. Check with Sandra on the dates in case that they're incorrect. Tonight at 4:30, if you think about it and you want to, we're going to have a little informational meeting on some things that will be going on. Just talk it out with folks. And then, let's see, annual business meeting is March 8th. Music meeting on the 12th after the evening service. The thought for the week, being committed to nothing is still commitment to something. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for getting us here today. Thank you for the beauty of your creation, Lord, even in the winter months, Lord. Where else would we live? What a beautiful place to have on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for our church. We're here again. Lord, pastor's about to speak, guide and direct there. And now, Lord, all that you've done for us, we have an opportunity to give a small portion back to you, Lord. Please, Lord, just be with the gift and givers we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, ladies. Autumn and Girls are going to come up here.
We sang this song last fall, but we're going to sing it again for the Lord. It's called, Lord, Make Us Instruments of Your Peace. And the original words were written around the year 1200 AD. So it's a very old song. Okay.
Continue in our time of worship. Thank you so much. that we have an obligation, according to God's word, to be instruments or facilitators of the peace of God, which is found through the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus. Jesus, amen. Well, greetings in the name of the Lord this morning. I trust you're having a profitable day in the Lord so far, that maybe you've had some time away with Him, alone with Him this morning in prayer and in devotions. And I pray today that the feeding from the Word will be beneficial to the health of the flock, and that we'll consume it, and may it be used for energy to go out, exactly as the lady sang here, as instruments of God's peace in a world that is racked with pain and with sorrow and strife. Well, this morning, the title of our message is, If Not Now, When? Salvation, Baptism, and Valid Commitment to a Local Church. So we're going to cover some interesting territory this morning. I want to clarify just two things before I pray, or we pray, and we begin with our message this morning. Number one, Family Fun Night. Everyone is invited to that. There will be a time of devotion and singing, but also some games and just a time to eat and have some fun time. And that'll be in Fellowship Hall, and I believe it begins at 6:30. Is that correct? So come if you can't get there right on time. Normally our prayer meetings start at 7, and I know folks that work a job till 5 or 5:30 can struggle with that. But we want you to know you're welcome. You don't have to bring anything along. The food will all be provided. Just come and enjoy one another's company and our time together as we rejoice in the Savior. The other announcement that I want to make this morning that is not in the bulletin, there has been some controversy here at Fruitland in the last months, but specifically in the last month. And I want to just make this opportunity known to you today. There was a situation in a meeting that has been questioned. And today at 4:30, if you'd come meet up here in the auditorium, if you would like to hear that, we will play that recording of that meeting to substantiate what happened. So it will not be a business meeting. It is just a time. I will not even speak. I will be here. Kim will, Lord willing. And you may listen to that recording. It is also open at other times, but this will be probably the only time we will play it in that content. You'll have to come and listen to it individually. So that would be at 4:30 today if you're so inclined. Well, before we start or go any further, we need to bathe our time in prayer. And this is a worship service where we again show how worthy God is to us. And let me just say this, He's everything. He really is. He's the basis of our very existence. And for the destiny of our soul that He has paid the price in His blood with on Calvary's cross. So today we're going to take 15 or 20 seconds just to quiet our hearts, a time of introspection to examine our walk with Jesus and our desire today to be fed on His Word and to pray for this time together today that we would be edified, Jesus would be glorified, and maybe today a soul would come to know Jesus Christ or to be committed to His work. So at this time, let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to You today as a needy people. We thank You today that Your throne of grace and mercy is open to all who will come through what You have done for us in Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paved that way. We thank You, God, that that day when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent. We no longer have to go through a human priest to get to You, Lord, to come into the Holy of Holies in the mercy seat. But we come through the ultimate high priest, who is Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid that way with His body and His shed blood to cover our sins. We thank You today, Lord, that we have free will and contact with You at any time, and You are there to hear us, Lord, and to help us in our time of need and in our time of rejoicing to You. I pray today, Lord, that first of all, this would be a day of rejoicing, because we have much to rejoice about. But I also am thankful, Lord, that as we come to You with heavy hearts over some issues, maybe sadness and grief, Lord, troubles of all kinds, Your throne is open to our prayers and to our cries and supplications. Father, may this be a day that is found pleasing in your sight. May this be a day that the Holy Spirit has free course in this room. And Lord, who may be hearing this on the internet, that he would do a work today that people would not forget the day of February 12, 2023. Now, Lord, we realize that right outside of our doors here this morning in Walls, we have a community that is needy. We have a community where many may be troubled. We have a community, Lord, in our midst that may be focused on everything but you. But I thank you, Lord, that Fruitland Baptist has its doors yet open, and there's a lot full of cars here today, Lord. And people know that there are those in our area that love God and that love them. Help us to be a witness and a ministry in this local community and in the ways where we live, Lord, individually with our neighbors and friends and acquaintances that we encounter. Now, Lord, again, the hearts here today, there may be some that are struggling in various ways. And, Lord, we know that Satan has his hand in all these things too, but, Lord, he's a defeated foe. And, Lord, he cannot challenge you at all when we really think about it and we look at it from your word. You still have authority over all things. But I pray today, Lord, you'd bind Satan's hands, that you'd bind up the hearts of the broken and the wounded, that your salve and your balm, Lord, that was offered there at your cross would be applied to our wounds. Now, Lord, I ask today that you'd help me to preach this message for your honor and glory. And, Lord, it is with shaking knees and trembling hands and arms that I come before you. This is a daunting event. But only through the power of the Spirit and the sustenance of the Spirit may it come about. I pray today, Lord, for results and for fruit to be born at the teaching of the Word. And I thank you for this opportunity. Pray these things. And again, Lord, I'm the weak link in this. I need your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, as I see it, there are three basic phenomena that we encounter in life that prevent us from attaining any worthwhile goal or achievement of desired result. We'll see what you think about this as I present them. But these three would be the lack of information. If we don't know the facts about things and we don't see the whole picture fully investigated, we may be hindered in accomplishing the end result. So lack of information is one. The second part of this is lack of motivation. And sometimes people's lack of motivation causes them to fail to seek information. But when we're not motivated to accomplish something with a zealous desire, with a forthright desire, folks, it's a hindrance, once again, to the things that are the goal or the desired result of any given achievement. And lastly, and these may intertwine to an extent, but as I studied this message and put it together here several days ago, I believe the third major thing that affects, or the phenomenon that affects humanity, is also a word called, and a situation called, procrastination. Have any of you ever heard of that word before? Procrastination is simply said, putting something off till tomorrow that could be done today. And the sad thing about procrastination is normally if we let it go for one day, we'll say, why not another? And another, and another. And some things we just don't want to face, but we know we should face them, right? But procrastination is a big hindrance to our achieving of a set goal. Not today, maybe tomorrow. My challenge this morning for us revolves simply around some very critical desires of the God of the Bible. Ought we not to perk up our ears and listen to what he has to say? I believe so. You know, throughout his book, he asks us to listen to him. But he doesn't just ask us to listen, he says we need to react to what he says. And I can assure you today there will be one of two things that happens, and you've heard this from me many times. We will either accept and process what he has told us, or we will reject it. And if we still say we're going to think about it, we've still what? We've rejected it. And those are the two things that we want to understand today that are very clear. So this revolves this morning, this message, about some very critical desires that the God of the Bible has for us and His presentation of His plan for mankind and our relationship to Him. Let me just say this. I don't think there's any better presentation by any human writer than what came by divine inspiration from God, known as the Holy Bible. It's the instruction manual for people. You don't go somewhere to someone that didn't create the race, and I'm talking here about the human race. There is only one race. You go to the Creator. And my friends, that Creator is Jesus Christ. He spoke everything into creation. And that's the first fundamental thing. You've got to understand where things come from and the basis of it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it comes from Almighty God. And this book shows it. And His desire to have a personal relationship with these folks that He created, called Adam and Eve, the human race, the progenitors of the human race. So this is a simple message this morning, and it will not take long. But let's understand this morning as we open our Bibles or our devices this morning to the first book in the Bible, Genesis. The word Genesis, the name Genesis means beginnings, and that's a good place to start. Sometimes I play games with some of the students in certain situations when I sub in school, and there's something about Candyland that I think is really interesting. I don't know if our daughter Bethany will be listening to this, but our oldest daughter Bethany loved to play Candyland when she was a little girl. But she also liked to stack the deck of the cards. And some of you have heard this before. She would figure out when she and Mark and I would play when they were little that she could go through the cards. And this is Bethany, okay? And sometime when she's here, you'll have to ask her about that. But the end result was is that Mark would, she always won the games. And Mark said, and this is when he was very small, he called her, he couldn't say with his teeth, Beth. He said, Beth, B-E-F-F. Why, and it's with angst, he said, why does Beth always win? Because he never could seem to pull off a win in Candyland. I found in school one day as I played with some students, the game of Candyland, that they as well wanted to play it in reverse. Anyway, it was the same thing. They wanted to win that game. But we have to start at the beginning, folks. And the end of the beginning is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the end of all things. And that's what our Bibles point to. Folks, here's the situation as we find it. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, 7 through 17 to begin. But here's the facts, folks. Man has a free will to accept or reject God. God's not going to force you to do anything here today with Him. It's up to you. You have a free will. God's given you directives. He's given He's given me directives, and He gave the first two human beings directives, and He gave them a choice to do what they would with Him. By the way, God did not create robots, because robots, and again, I'm using that term cautiously here, but programmed people cannot what? They cannot truly love the Creator God of the Bible. They cannot truly have a relationship that they chose by free will and by choice. And they would be what? They would be less than ideal companionship. That's why God created us. He created us for fellowship with Him. And He created us in the Garden of Eden, our ancestors Adam and Eve, in a perfect environment. Sometimes stop and think about that. What's going to be different from what we live today in the new heavens and new earth when God has done all of His work to restore humanity totally to Him? And in the perfect environment, what will be there is what was in the Garden of Eden, perfect fellowship, free from the environment of sin. Hallelujah, praise God. That's at least 1,007 years away, folks. But I'll tell you what, every day we get closer to that, and it's going to be a wonderful time, praise God. Anyway, man has chosen in the fact that our great-great-great-grandpappy Adam made a big error. He failed to listen to God. He lacked the what? The second thing of this, he lacked the motivation. He lacked the motivation. He knew the information from God, but he lacked the motivation to obey it. And therefore, he procrastinated as well, and he made the wrong move. And yes, Eve was blamed, and there was blame shifting, but the fact of the matter was, Adam was the one who was responsible. And that's why we're in the situation we are today. What happened there was a thing called sin. Let's read about this real quickly here, Genesis 2, 7 through 17. And we'll keep right on moving here this morning. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. By the way, you look at that there. This does not allow for evolutionary creation, okay? God directly breathed life into the first man, and he became Adam, a living soul. He had an immaterial part that was eternal. That's what that means to have a soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pishon. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, and where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same it is that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. By the way, some of these rivers still exist. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. By the way, did God give out good information? Yes, he did. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God wasn't just talking physical death, even though that was the case. When sin entered into the picture, death came along with it. But what God was talking about there is eternal death. And apart from some kind of a rescue, man is doomed to eternal death. I want you to know this morning, it's the point of this message, God has thrown you and I a life preserver out in the ocean of sin. And he wants us to take it, and the name of that life preserver is his precious son, Jesus, who came to take our punishment in our place and died for you and me. Everyone in this room can be saved if you will accept the life preserver. And I believe I was going to stop there with 17. God couldn't force us to love him, but he demonstrated how much he loved us, even when our first ancestors disobeyed him in the garden. Adam and Eve were informed, but they lacked the motivation to maintain and use the information actively because of procrastination. Folks, it's a dangerous thing. And of course, as I mentioned, the world is in sin. And it is proven that you and I know today by our very being we are sinful. Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? I better check that out, Romans 3:23. Let's take a look here. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Back to Romans 3:10, and you can investigate what the Bible says, but it is clear and concise that we are all broken and we are all a part of the sinful world. Verse 10 of chapter 3 says, as it is written, there is one righteous. There is none righteous when it comes to humanity. There is only one that is righteous, and that is Jesus. There is none righteous. No, not one. Well, I'm thankful this morning, as we consider this plight, that there are verses like Romans 6:23, part A, which again confirms what I've just told you and what we've learned from Scripture. And it says the following: the wages of sin is death. But there's a little conjunction there, and it is the conjunction but. The wages of sin is death. The payment for our sin, for our disobedience to God, is eternal death. We have transgressed against the holiness of God, therefore we deserve death. This is a hard thing for people to understand, because we want to believe that we're not that bad. But the Bible clearly reveals that we are very bad. It's a situation that when we face ourselves in the mirror, we know is true if we'll really open our hearts and look at what the Scriptures tell us. But and I've said this before and some jaws dropped, aren't you thankful for buts? What did you say? No, I mean the B-U-T. It's a conjunction. The conjunction is like a bridge or a remedy that we find in things. So 6:23 of Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but aren't you thankful for buts? Because the but says there, the gift of God is eternal life through, made possible by Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's a precious verse to you and a precious verse to me, among many others in Scripture, that say God has not abandoned us. He loves us dearly. The problem is the wages of sin is death. It's eternal death. Payment is eternal death in hell, but God's gift of grace, which is undeserved favor, is Jesus, who gives eternal life to make whole man's slip-up when he took our sin and place at the cross of Calvary as the perfect, sinless sacrifice to cover our sins, and then rose again to conquer death once and for all. God made a way for all who receive it to be saved or rescued. That's what that word saved means. If they will choose it and accept it. And that's the information I want to give you this morning on that subject. It is there for us. It is plain in Scripture. It is your choice and mine whether we will accept it and receive it. Let's go to John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. John 3, 16 through 18. John 3, 16 through 18, as soon as I can get the pages turned here. Let's all recite this together, John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here's the key. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. There may be someone in this auditorium this morning that is under a condemnation because of their sin. But Jesus wants to commute your sentence this morning. He wants you to be rescued today. Today, by the way, friends, we'll get into that just a little bit longer. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten or unique Son of God, the God-man. By the way, to have faith in God, to believe, just means simply this. It's like when you come down the hill today and you press on that brake pedal. What do you believe will happen in that car? Do you ever doubt it? Well, we might always be cautious when we come into situations, but we place our trust when we push on that brake pedal that the brakes are going to work. And that's what it is like with Jesus. We don't worry about that. We simply believe it and trust it. And that's the essence of our salvation. It's by totally giving ourselves over to Jesus for the salvation and the commutation of our death sentence. That's what it's about. Now, I want to add one more verse with this. 2 Peter 3:9, towards the back of your Bible. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Peter's talking about the end time events here, but he gives us a clue as to God's grace and mercy toward man and his love for man. One thing we know about God, he's not slack or lackadaisical about anything like we are. God never procrastinates. God takes actions at appropriate times. He does things on time, every time, all the time. Peter writes, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." He's benevolent. He's gracious to us. Folks, we're here today just because of God's grace. He's given us time. He still today is giving us time. And here's the thing, folks. He is not willing, read this with me, that any should perish. God does not want the death sentence to be executed on any human being. But he's given us the choice to receive his son Jesus. The pass, the bridge. But that all should come to repentance. And that simply means to turn around from our wrong thinking. To turn around from the wrong route that we are on, away from the Lord, back to him. Folks, that's what Jesus wants for you and I today if we've never received it. So here's my first question today in this message. If not now, when? You don't have to answer me, but it's a valid question, isn't it, that I've asked? And by the way, I believe Jesus is asking these questions all the time to us. If not now, when will you be rescued? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says the following. When will it be? You don't need to answer to me, but I believe Jesus is waiting for your answer this morning if you have never received him as the Lord and Savior of your life. Here's what 2 Corinthians 6:2 says as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. By the way, nothing's really changed throughout all time. Things are a mess in humanity. Things are in perfect order in the way God wants things done, if we'll listen to his information. And here's what he told the church at Corinth. He says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I drawn thee," or succored thee. By the way, you don't get saved necessarily by a decision you make, even though that's part of it, but you're going to do what you're going to do with Jesus because you've been drawn to him and you can't resist it. Now, I'm not being trite about this, but I'm talking here about husbands today. If your wife wants you to accomplish a certain task, and again, I'm not attributing this to the Lord, and she nags you about it on and on and on, eventually what's going to happen? Ginger, don't point any fingers. I didn't see any of that. Maybe there's someone here this morning, God's been nagging for a while. But maybe today someone's going to get up out of their seat and say, you know what, I don't care if I'm embarrassed. I don't care what happens, but I'm going to walk forward today and I'm going to publicly receive Jesus as my Savior. If it isn't public, that's fine too if you do it where you're at. But friends, Jesus wants you to be saved, not yesterday, not the day after tomorrow. According to this verse, he wants you to be saved today because it says here, behold, or behold means listen up. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day to be delivered, the day of salvation. There it is, folks, if you're motivated there. Second part of the message this morning. And by the way, as I said earlier, if you're here apart from Jesus, you'll either reject him or you'll receive him today. And that choice is certainly yours. He will never force you, but he may nag you. Point two. If you have already been rescued or saved, have you identified with Christ through water baptism? Baptism is one of the most confusing things in the Scriptures. It's not confusing in the Scripture, but it's confusing to people. Let me just say this right away. 1 Corinthians 12:13 and other verses tell you this. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, at the moment you did that, you were baptized into the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's spirit baptism. And that's automatic. It's a default thing when the Spirit dwells within you that you've been baptized in the body. To get technical about that, it's the universal body of all believers for all time. Some people call it the universal church. But folks, We're placed, that's what baptism is, into a relationship with all other believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, amen. Sometimes we'd all like to just stop there and say, that's great. But the problem is, folks, I can't really know a person in Russia that's a believer. I may be able to through the technology we have available to us today. But it's hard not to have or be able to have true fellowship when you can't literally be around someone. That's what God established this local work here at Fruitland or any other local church. The word for church in the Greek is ekklesia. It's the ones who have been called out by God to salvation. That's the local body of Christ. That's Fruitland. But my question today is, folks, if you have been rescued and saved, have you identified with Christ through water baptism? Now, that's a thing that people wonder about a lot. Some people don't. By the way, the word baptized means to be dipped or immersed. Okay? You can't change it. That's in the Greek, and that's what's found in the Bible. If sprinkling, pouring, those things, it would have been rantizo, like rain. But rain doesn't portray what's taken place when you're saved. We've been immersed in Christ's death, burial, and His resurrection, folks. That's our identification, and that shows that. It's not an act that cleans us. It's an act that we've been cleansed. And that's the facts of it, folks. Have you been identified with Christ through water baptism? By the way, folks, we all need an identity, a name. And our name is shown through our actions. You may say, well, so-and-so has a good name, but you'll know if it's truly a good name by their actions. And when we bear the cross of Jesus Christ and when we have been born again in Him and seen our sins placed again in His death, burial, and resurrection, water baptism pictures that perfectly. I'd like you to turn this morning to Romans 6, 3 through 10. Romans 6, 3 through 10. And I know the old argument, someone like, well, you don't have to be baptized in water to be saved and go to heaven. True statement. But you know what? We've been called to identify with Christ in a public way. I'm saying this, we can talk a good talk, but you know what? When we have truly been immersed in Christ and we show that publicly, let me tell you, it's not just the witness of Jesus Christ, it's the witness of many other people around us. And I don't know what you're like, but I'm pretty faulty, and I need help from you people to stay on the straight and narrow. And I think we need each other's help. And that's what it means to have been baptized into Christ's local body, the local church. Romans 6, 3 through 10. Paul here is saying, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. There it is. Paul's talking about His death, burial, resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. This pictures what's happened in your life. And I want to tell you this as well. There's a pattern found in the Scripture among believers. And that pattern is, once they have been rescued, once they have been saved, they will identify publicly in that very act of baptism, which again shows an outward testimony of what has happened inside. I take you to one reference this morning because we're always hurting for time. Acts 16, 30 through 33. Acts 16, 30 through 33. You will find it this way all the time in Scripture. Acts 16, 30 through 33. Tell me what happened in this case. It's Paul and Silas and Luke and who? The Philippian jailer. Acts 16, 30 through 33. You can read the whole account. But you remember what happened in the prison. Paul and Silas were complaining and God shook the walls with an earthquake and loosed their bands. No, they weren't complaining in the prison. What were they doing? They were singing praises and testifying to the goodness of God while they were beat into meatloaf and chained up. By the way, whatever we're going through today isn't anything like that. But it could be, but that's a real test. Are you gonna have a testimony for Jesus? Well, anyway, here's what happened, 30 through 33. The jailer, all these things took place, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved, to be rescued, And Paul and Silas and Luke here said, well, you need to go through a lot of things. You need to be baptized. You need to join a church. You need to give money. You need to do many, many things. Dogmatic, religious things will get you to heaven. That's not what Paul and Silas said. They said what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's no religious to this, folks. It's a direct talk with God and a direct faith with God that causes us to be saved when we let it go and let Him. And notice here, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. I think some dynamic stuff happened that night. And it was done through the word and the catalyst of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Within a few hours of the Philippian jailer's salvation, notice what happened in 33. His whole heart had changed. He was one who abused the prisoners, who kept the prisoners, who beat the prisoners. But the change of God, the peace that the girls sang about this morning. He took them the same hour of the night, the jailer, and washed their stripes. He'd received the peace of Jesus Christ. And notice what he did. And he was baptized. He identified with Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer, who only hours before was there to enforce things against Jesus and his people, now became identified with them. And you know his heart was changed because he was no longer placing stripes or placing things on Paul and Silas, but he was what? He was washing those stripes. I'm sure it was with tears. Tears of joy. He was baptized, and notice, this all came about that he and all his, I'm talking here, people that knew him, his family, they received Jesus. And they had a testimony there of a change that took place in the Philippian jailer. If you have been rescued or saved, have you identified with Christ through water baptism? And the last point today, well, I have one more sentence here. If you have been rescued, have you identified with Christ, as I said, in his death, burial, and resurrection? And if not, why not? When? Third point, evidence of rescue or salvation and water baptism identification are public professions of faith to a local gathering of believers, and it's called the local church. I mentioned earlier, the ecclesia, the called out ones. By the way, everyone that's been born again in Jesus and has been baptized has gone through the same things. It's a different path for everyone, a little different, but it's the same end of the journey. Same end of the journey. Folks, I want to identify today what a local church is. A local church consists of two or more baptized believers. When you meet with someone else that's a born-again Christian, you're meeting as the church. Forget the building thing. The building is an identity point, though, for us to gather. That's Fruitland Baptist Church. But the body of Christ is believers. The fellowship of believers, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you. Two or more baptized believers, organized for fellowship, banded together for work and worship, guided by Bible doctrine and the exercise of spiritual gifts. That's what the church is for. God has gifted every believer with at least one spiritual gift. And the church, his body, is where they all come together in unity for the cause of Christ. Let me finish the identification here. A local church is for the exercise of spiritual gifts, also observing the ordinances of Jesus, which are, Jesus said, do this. Baptism, the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. And worldwide proclamation of the gospel. Acts 2, 41 through 47. We got to kick her into high gear here. What's important about Acts chapter 2? Acts 2, 41 through 47. It's the beginning of the church. Amen. Acts 2, 41 through 47 says the following. You need to read the context that comes before that. Because there were miracles that were worked there, folks. People were saved in large numbers, and they obeyed in baptism. And they got down the road with the church. It says they had all things in common. Folks, we're a long way from what the early church was like because of our sin. What did I say, 41 through 47? You have to read the context. Then they that gladly received his word, they'd been saved. And Peter preached there, once you're saved, you need to identify with Christ in his death, burial, resurrection. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I wonder what they did for a building program in those days. They didn't even care about the building. What they cared about was each other and the Lord. And you know what, folks? There were thousands of people saved right off the bat in the church. Do you think we could learn anything from those days? And they continued when they could. We used to be, well, I still am a regular Baptist. I still am a GARB from 1932, and I hope this message goes out on that. Didn't I preach a message one time, Ex-lax for the Christian? Oh, I got some sour looks from people over that one. Regular! I'm not talking about the Ex-lax style. I'm saying they did what? See it there? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, meaning they sat down to eat meals. No, they did that too, but that wasn't the core of it. The fellowship was circling around what? One another in the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I can't preach the way some can to put the fear of God in people, but I know the Holy Spirit can still do it. These people took notice. They paid attention. They took the information, and they went with it. They didn't procrastinate. What was the second one that I used in there? Motivation. They did not lack motivation. They processed the information. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Folks, there was a lot of things that went on there for the introduction of this new program called the church. But let me tell you something, if we come under the control of the Holy Spirit, there will be signs and wonders done in our day too, in the hearts of people and the way things work. And all they that believed were together and had all things in common. How far was they going? 47? Sold their possessions and goods and parted them all to men, to all men, as every man had need. And they continued, when they could, daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. By the way, when they went to the temple, they were not welcome people. Where there's friction, there's heat. And folks, we are in an epic battle with Satan and the souls of men and God. Notice here, the breaking of bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat, complaining and griping with gladness. When's the last time you had a smile on your face about Jesus and about the church, about your friends in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord? And singleness of heart, meaning they were purposed in what they did. And they praised God. Did you take time this morning to praise God? And having favor with all people, and the Lord subtracted daily from the church. The Lord added every day to the church. That's where it's at, folks. By the way, Fruitland must be, and I preached on this a few weeks ago, we must be out there after souls, seeing God work through this local body called Fruitland Baptist Church. Well, I think I've said all I want to say except the conclusion. But do I even really need to say the conclusion? Because what should we be thinking about this morning? If not, why not? When? If you are born again and identified through water baptism with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, have you committed yourself to a group of believers as the local church? Now, I just briefly will say this. There's always controversy about church membership. I personally think it doesn't hurt one bit to be committed and sign on the dotted line. By the way, here at Fruitland, it's very simple. You just say, you know, I'm a born-again believer. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized. We have a little class where we show you what Fruitland believes and how things work. That's it. That's the only requirements to join this church officially. But some may choose not to do that and may have reasons why they do that. And by the way, have I ever put the rush on anyone to join the church? Most of you would say, John, you don't say enough about that. But you know why? Because God gives us freedom. But I want you to know that this community of believers here at Fruitland is accepting new people that sign on the dotted line. You may not find that everywhere today, but we still are. And will it be easy? Will it be a cakewalk? You better know the church is one of the most volatile, turbulent places you could ever be. But it's the blessed hope that Jesus gives us, and it's the institution that he endorses. Now let me finish up here. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, salvation places us in a personal relationship with Christ. Our sins are covered by his blood, headed for heaven, baptized by the Spirit into the universal church. Am I on the right page here? Yes, I am. It's only a two-pager today. Water baptism identifies us publicly with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and testifies of our association with the local, visible church. And thirdly, joining a church motivates our walk with God and is helpful to our growth and the growth of others. By the way, you don't come here just for what you get. And I'm not talking about money, even though that may be a part of it. You're here and I are here to help others with what we can give. That's the church. Oh, there's so much wrong with the church today, folks. Even Fruitland. But we can get it right if we operate with the good information God gives us. It's not just about what we get, it's what we give. I've heard people say, I'm not being fed. I said, grab a spoon and a plate. If you don't help feed yourself, you're going to starve. If you don't come to meals, you're going to starve. Anyway, let me get this done. It's helpful to our growth and to the growth of others and our accountability to the Lord and each other as we exercise our spiritual gifts in evangelizing the world around us. Folks, I need your accountability to stay on the right path. We need each other's accountability. You know I'm not a dictatorial pastor, but you need my help too because we all need each other. You got it, right? So my last question, if not now, when? I'm telling you today, make it public. If someone here this morning says, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to yield to Jesus today. I can't save you, but I'll help you. And there's other spiritual people here that will show you in the scriptures, but it's not religious. It's direct with Jesus. You'll leave here a new creation in Christ. And lastly, as well, if you've been saved but never baptized, it's not as bad as you think, and you will not drown. But I guarantee if you do drown, you're going to be headed for heaven. And sometimes we even use warm water. And by the way, water baptism does not have to be done in a building. I've seen it done in stock tanks. I've seen it done in lakes and rivers. But it's always publicly in the church. So if not, when? Well, come publicly today. Lack of information, lack of motivation, and procrastination. Who will it stop again today? Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. We're going to turn this morning to number 532. 532. If what I've brought forth this morning from the Word of God isn't enough to motivate you, look around to what's going on in our world. In times like these, we need the Savior. By the way, if God leads you today, I'll be up here. I'll be like the jailer. I'll be weeping today to see God work. But we leave that in His hands. But take time today. Don't run out of here. And we're not very late even. Do you have the Savior? Because the day, I've been telling the young people in school, you don't know what you're going to be facing shortly. But the Bible tells us we need Jesus. We need to be on target with Him and united as a body to help one another and to present His gospel. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We're going to sing that chorus one more time. Who will step out today for Jesus? Who will step out to obey Him? Be united officially with a group of believers. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. May the Lord bless you today as we go on our separate ways. Marlon Epperly, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?